Welcome to the Ask Me How I Know podcast, the only podcast in the multifamily niche replicating what takes place outside the walls of a seminar. This is like the lobby, where honest, unscripted conversations take place and transformation happens. We'll talk about practical problem solving in the multifamily niche, as well as overcoming limiting beliefs. Thank you for joining us today, and now for our featured guest. Welcome back to Ask Me How I Know. I have a fantastic, no, that's an understatement. Let's go with phenomenal. Let's kick that up a notch or two. Phenomenal guest, Agnes Wong, with me here today. And Agnes, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate the time that you're spending and your willingness to share your story.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be on here. You're just so lovely. I just want to talk to you.
Well, the fun thing, that's what I love about this podcast is that it really is, it's a conversation. So if you're new to listening to this podcast, it really is a conversation. Agnes and I were talking and it's like, I don't have a set formula of questions that I ask because I really love people so much. And your stories, everyone has these powerful stories that help empower others. And Agnes, you, oh my gosh, I get chills, just seriously, chills thinking of the story and the path that you guys have been, you and your husband specifically, have been on with investing in. I mentioned earlier, I mean, I don't normally go into the how and why we get into real estate investing, but you guys have a really unique story, and I'd love to share that with our audience.
Yeah. So I love real estate. That's the only thing I know in terms of investing. I'm not in stocks. I'm just in real estate. And my family's in real estate. So I started real estate really young. So I've always loved real estate. But I think we've had investments. So currently we have an active portfolio, which I manage, and then a passive portfolio where we invest in syndications. But I was just an investor. So I also have a design background. So we also have flex and flip business here in San Francisco and remodeling business in San Francisco. But I wasn't a very disciplined investor before 2 years ago, what happened. So about 2 years ago, my husband had a medical condition that he had to resign from his job. And he was in ER like 3 times. And I just told him, you have to quit. He was worried. Like, if he resigns, I'm independent. So I don't have health insurance. We have a son. We live in San Francisco. How can we pay for all
cha-ching,
this?
Right? Cha-ching, cha-ching. Money, money, money.
Yeah. And we don't really have family. I mean, my family's in Hong Kong. His family's in Boise. So we don't really have family like immediately. So it was tough, but I told him, you have to quit if you want to live, we have to quit. Like, it's okay. We have passive income. It will help us carry through this. You have to recover. So he resigned from his job and was just recovering. But yeah, we're so fortunate we have passive income to help us carry through. That's why I love sharing with people. It's really important to have another source of income, because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, he's on top of his game. His job, he was a chief operating officer. He's like on top of his game, but you never know if something will hit. And then after that, he was heavily on drugs. So it took a while to recover. But when you're going through that, it's nice to not have to worry about the financial part and just kind of get through it. But I have to say, it was a really good experience. He is actually much stronger in his mind after the recovery, and I'm much stronger from it. So I think in a way it was a good thing that it happened. And I want to share with other people how important it is to have passive income.
You know, it's really interesting. I always say the learning is in the struggle. Like, I can't think of a time where I have grown as an individual or my husband and I have grown together where it's like, oh man, everything's so easy right now. It's so good. It's like, you have to really kind of get squeezed in life a bit. And that's what really, it reveals the strengths and the weaknesses alike. Exactly. And it's like, you got to see your husband has this great mindset and this mental stability and ability to, you know, just stay the course, I suppose we could say. But, you know, some of us, like, I've had to grow my mindset over the years and through some of those hard knocks. That's where I've grown a lot.
What are the ways? Having that grit, I think, you know.
Yeah, like, I would love that word.
That grit, yeah. It really shapes who you are. It makes you really stronger. It's a lovely thing. I know it sucks when you go through it, but it's a really lovely thing when you come out of it. I think.
Oh, I love how Rod Cleef always calls these type of, you know, difficulties seminars in life. And some people can look at them as things that are going to just like weigh them down and suffocate them. And you could change the mindset and say, oh, this is a seminar, just like I'd pay for, only I didn't even have to pay for this one. this is a really a rabbit trail kind of question, but you know, that's a lot when somebody is very successful, like your husband, and he's in this great position, and those positions don't just get handed to you. He's worked into that position. How was that for him to make that transition to, oh, I'm not in this position any longer?
It was really tough. Like I mentioned, he was on a lot of medication and it took him a while. So it took him a while to recover. It's almost a year. So it's not immediate, but just constantly being by him, and slowly he was able to, you know, exercise, eat better, cut out all the medication. So it took a lot of willpower on his part too. It'll take time, but it'll get through it.
Those things do take time. I cannot even wrap my head around what this would have been like if you didn't have the passive income.
Yeah, an extra thing to worry financially, like to worry about for him, especially mm-hmm. for him. Like, I think he was okay in quitting because he knew we had some passive income. And that's why I think the power of passive income, I want to tell everybody it's so important. And it will take time. It's not going to be like overnight. You can build a passive income stream. That's enough to live by. But, you have to start somewhere and build that passive income stream.
So where did you start with that passive income?
Sure. So I invested out of state like 16 years ago. Because San Francisco has always been expensive. So we've always, and also not landlord friendly. So
very much not landlord friendly.
So I've always invested out of state. My first rental was in Bentonville, Arkansas, actually. Because at the time, my sister worked for Walmart.com. And she was like, she flew there and she said, it's the whole Walmart country. And back then, Walmart was a really big deal because it's before Amazon. Where a lot of companies that relocated to Bentonville because of Walmart. So we bought our first rental there. We still have it. And that's my only single family home. Now that I've like moved on to smaller motifs now. So I have, mm-hmm. we have a lot in our portfolio. So a duplex, fourplex, but that's the single family home that we kept since it was just like the first that started everything.
It's interesting because, you know, not everybody, but so many people start with the single family. My husband and I started with single family, and, you know, it's like, it's just such an easy, we understand it, you know, wrap your head around that whole single family. How did you grow your mindset to expand into the, okay, I can understand multifamily, and that makes sense to me?
Sure. It was because like at a certain point you can't, you know, like for example, you only get 10 loans, right? So you only get 10 properties if you're doing single family. But if you start going to duplex and fourplex, you can get a lot more doors. Mm-hmm. And also share the risk of having four units, you get one vacant, you're still have three tenants. So there's a lot of sharing the risk with the loan part. And so there's just a lot more advantage of multifamily.
So you were into it. You're like, okay, let's go. More advantageous.
Yeah. You just have to keep looking for ways to expand your portfolio, right? So yeah, we are. So in the passive side, it's all, you know, big multifamilies, like 200 doors on the passive side.
Once you understand that, it was interesting. I had to explain, since my husband is in residential real estate, I took a lot of conversations. So if you're out there and you're, you know, married to someone that's not in multifamily, you know, those conversations are recurring, but that, oh my gosh, I'm reducing my liability. If I have a 10-plex, let's just keep, you know, the number simple. And wow, I have my vacancy rate. I'm still going to be able to cash flow. Oh, I'm like, I don't know why anybody does single family, but I would keep that single family just probably for sentimental reasons.
Right, exactly. And it's a good place to start. Yeah. If you don't feel comfortable jumping in, I think it's a great place to start. Just start somewhere, and it'll take your path will move on. Like, it'll lead you to the right path that you want.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I noticed, and something that, you know, you said earlier, and that, and you and I were talking about this kind of before we started delving into this, you know, into the formal interview, but that concept of, we all think that we're so healthy and so strong. And I'm looking at what you've experienced, what your family experienced. And then now so many families are experiencing all of the setbacks from, they are not even physically sick necessarily, but COVID-19 has wiped out so many different people financially in different ways. We're not invincible people. Not at all. Not ever invincible. As you think about some of those hurdles, there are always, I would say there's a gauntlet anytime you're in a deal. You got to run the gauntlet. But when you're investing and you're working with a spouse, is your husband actively involved in the real estate portfolio experience?
No, he has no idea. So I have a wall where I put in like sticky notes of all the investments, like where they are, what like how many units. So he goes through that wall and he sees it. But other than that, he doesn't, has no idea. It's great. I mean, he's very hands off for me. But maybe when when we buy a deal, I do show him the numbers real quick. But he's usually like, "Oh, good, good. You know, I trust you."
That's fantastic. That cuts down. I mean, a lot of couples have to kind of go through that, hash it out. I mean, but obviously, you know what you're doing. But that's awesome that he has that trust. I love that.
How do you guys like?
Well, you know, we share, and we had to really develop our roles and responsibilities, and we had to divide and conquer because we really are in it together. And we're opposite personalities. Like, you could not get more opposite on any part, any personality test. We are polar opposites. And this is, being in multifamily investing has been actually fantastic for our marriage. It comes with its struggles and the hurdles, but we've been learning how to leverage each other. So we're like, golly, because we're a team and we're married and we're in it together, we now have all these different things covered that as a single person we couldn't. And if we had a partnership with an external person, you could have, I mean, we could cover the bases that way. And a lot of people do that, but to be able to share that with a spouse, it's been challenging, but really rewarding at the same time.
Yes, that's a great journey together. So usually it's one is maybe better at underwriting, one is more maybe making the contacts, building the relationships. And I can see you're more the making relationship contact person. So that's great, great team.
Yeah, yep. He is more the numbers person and the acquisitions, and I am more, I want to interact with people. And like you're saying, you know, hey, let's show people how this can work and how it can benefit them and how to protect themselves. This is another investment that will insulate them from the woes of the stock market. Exactly. Golly.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like real estate is really easy to understand, like, because it's all data driven. It's, where are the jobs? Where are the population growth? You know, which states are landlord friendly. And so it's very easy to understand. It's not because the oil price crashed, you know, where the stock affects the stock market. It affects real estate too, but people need a place to live. So I think for me, I think real estate is very easy to understand.
So I'm wondering if you have you had always smooth transactions, smooth acquisitions? Have you had a really terrible horror story in this process of investing over 16 years where you're like, oh my word, I will never do that again?
Yes, definitely. So the horror stories, very few, because real estate is a really forgiving investment, because as long as you can hold it over time, it always does increase, always pays you rent. But I actually don't invest in condos anymore, because I did invest in a condo actually in Avon, Colorado. And it was kind of like the third floor unit, and the upstairs would leak to our unit. We would leak downstairs to the unit. It was just problem after problem, claiming insurance. So I don't invest in condos anymore because of that, just because of all the neighbors, things that could happen. It's out of your control sometimes. So and plus the HOA fee. So I don't invest in condos anymore because of that.
Yeah. You have no control over, we had a condo at one point, and you have no control over what happens to the association unless you're on the association. And then that's one more level. And if that's only one part of your portfolio, it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that I can think of that. That's, and then my other recommendation would be if something's not working out. So we have a property in Seattle right now. I should have changed the property management earlier, but you know, every time something goes wrong, they gave me some excuse, and you want to see the better side of people anyway. So, I should have changed earlier, but we did not. So we still had a vacant unit, and then COVID-19 happened. And so it's still vacant, but I decided I have to change property management. And within a week, they already told me, oh, we're doing virtual tours. We have this appointment at 3:00, this appointment at 4:00. And then I just got an email last week that we got an application. It's going to be rented starting May 1st. So I feel like if something is not working out, you really have to just deal with it right away. So that was the recent something that I've learned.
What were some of those little moments along the way? Because property management, that is something that comes up often. And like you said, I mean, I don't know an investor that doesn't have a humongous heart. I know they're out there. I just haven't come across them yet. And we all want to believe the best. We want to look at the numbers and say, okay, here are the numbers and here's what needs to happen. But we also want to say, okay, property manager, you can do this. What were some of the things that like the red flags that were popping up?
Oh, okay. So for example, they told me we need to spend more money. They fired the lawn care guy that they were using, and they said the new lawn care bill is now $200 more per month. I'm like, that's a lot for a bottom line. So yeah. I said, well, show me why. Like, send me some pictures of the lawn. Did it like all of a sudden grow a lot of things? So I never got the pictures. It took a long time for them to send me the pictures. So just things like that. It was like excuse after excuse. So just have to watch out for that.
Yeah, that poor communication and a lack of explanation. Oof. So what was that like? I haven't had to do that yet. What was that like when you're like, we're done?
Yeah, so actually I sent an email, and you do have to, not that you have to, but I think you should. I documented everything that happened on this date. You didn't do this on this date. So I documented everything and then sent him the notice of termination. So I did put in actually on the contract. The good thing is I did change the contract. So normally it's 30 days to terminate the contract. Uh-huh. I did change it to 15 days when we signed the contract. So we were able to terminate a lot quicker, because you don't want someone managing your property knowing that they're not going to be there for the long term. So you want to terminate as soon as possible, because they don't have your best interests in mind if they know they're leaving. So I did change the contract, property management contract, to 15 days instead of 30 days to terminate. So I think that's a good tip.
I think that's a fantastic tip. Most people need to do that. I've heard some horror stories about, you know, the property manager being in charge of the checking account as well. And then when you go to terminate, it can become really dicey. It's like, man, having everything set up the correct way with your property management so that if it goes south, you have a good exit strategy. That's really important. We don't live in a big city, but we now live in this rural area where we cannot invest in our backyard. So like you, it's like, live where you want to live, invest where it makes sense. And your first investment in that single family house, I mean, you kind of had some feet on the ground because you had your sister over there, but how has it been stepping into other markets like Seattle or, you mm-hmm. know?
Sure. So we're currently in Seattle, Austin. So initially my strategy was to invest, since I can't invest in San Francisco, what other tech cities can I invest in? So it was Austin and Seattle. But those don't make sense anymore. Those don't cash, meaning they don't cash flow anymore by now. Right. So I started looking outside of those cities. And so we just started buying in Tennessee. It's a lot better cash flow. So I actually like to fly out to different cities and check out the different areas. So I actually do analysis. Where is the job growth? I mentioned, where's the job growth? Where's the population growth? Yeah. And it has to be a trend, not just like one quarter. So looking at the trend, there's a lot of different reports. I love the ULI, Urban Land Institute, and PricewaterhouseCooper. They publish a report every year about where the growth cities are. So I look at a lot of reports and data, and then I fly out there and try to make contacts there. And yeah. The property management company is really important. So I love Tennessee because we have a really good property management there.
Nice. And this whole South, I mean, that is on fire and it's projected. That's a big tip for everybody that's totally out there already. But man, exactly.
South is on fire. Yeah. And why not? It's nicer weather, but favorable taxes. Like, why not?
Landlord friendly, favorable taxes. It makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. Sure that's does. Where everybody's migrating to. Yeah. The weather. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love playing at the South.
It's kind of nice also when you live in different areas to be able to fly. We were supposed to be in Huntsville, Alabama. That's one of our markets. And we were supposed to be out there, you know, checking things out. And for obvious reasons, COVID, we had to cancel all of our plans and our meetings with brokers. And
I remember you were going to be in Nashville, and then I even recommended hotel. Like,
yes, it was so sad.
That would have been a fun trip. I love Nashville. Nashville and Huntsville, that whole area. That would have been Hopefully, once this is over, you can head out there again.
Yeah. Well, once it's over, then it is. However, you know, I mean, this has been interesting. It's been interesting to provide some stress tests on markets, and you know. I mean, it's the real deal. And you know, that's interesting. And we're kind of looking at some other markets now as, maybe there's some other opportunity strategically in some of these other markets that we haven't really aggressively researched. So
what other areas? I'm always curious what people, what other markets?
I know. Well, you know, we're kind of looking at some areas that might be less competitive. All the hot markets, like Phoenix, DFW, you know, a lot of the South, it's really competitive to get in there. And there are some shining stars out there in the country that have kind of just been laying low that it might be easier to get a shoe in with brokers.
Yeah. Another market I really like is North Carolina and South Carolina. I went to North Carolina, lots of jobs because there's North Carolina's jobs and then it has like three universities and that's the capital. So there's lots of jobs and lots of migration, but not a lot of multifamily in North Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That's the interesting thing. We have friends heavily invested in South Carolina. So
yeah, that's a good market.
All of those, lots of good markets. Not necessarily. I think we're looking at some markets right now that might not have that tailwind appreciation. And that's what we were looking for before our economy did this whole shift and people are, I mean, just COVID has just really changed things in a significant way. No, I don't think it's going to be forever, but for this point in our investing, it's like, okay, where could we go that might not have that burst of appreciation that we are looking for, but maybe be that that stable growth that we can count on. All the trends still look good. You know, that might be more appealing also to our passive investors.
Yes, definitely a trend of like steady growth versus like a burst. Yeah.
Definitely. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then just it's cash flow, passive income is, definitely not banking on the appreciation, but more the cash flow is the most important.
Have you ever had one of those moments where you're like getting it? I mean, you research all of your deals so well. So I don't imagine you have this, but do you still get that feeling when you're investing in something like that little like, butterfly in your tummy feeling or
no, I still get really excited. I love real estate. So I still get really excited, like analyzing deals and actually putting in offers. I still get really excited.
I think it's so much fun too. And the opportunity, you know, it's just fun to know I can help people and I can help my family also. It's just everybody gets to win on this, and that's exciting. Well, I'm wondering if there are like any gems that you are like, I wish I would have known this at the beginning. 16 years ago when I started, I really wish I would have known this.
Start early. Yeah, starting early, because time is your biggest asset. So definitely starting early and keep investing.
Start early and don't stop investing. Exactly. Just keep going. Have you had any of those scary moments? I mean, because you've been in this for 16 years, so you have run these economies. So when you're seeing this, are you seeing what everyone else is seeing? Like, oh, yay, opportunity.
Yes. So I went through 2008, 2009. And we actually, so my aunt is a developer. So we actually developed a 90 unit condo in Denver, and it finished like early 2008. We had about 30% to 40% pre-sold already, but only maybe 10% closed because credit froze. So we had this 90 unit luxury condo. What do we do with it? So the construction loan converts into, you know, regular financing. They have to pay back quarterly. So we had to rent out about 80 units to survive, to otherwise the bank will take it away. And there were developers that committed suicide because they lost everything. So we had to rent out 80 units. And some of the units I had to rent furnished because you couldn't just rent 80 units out. And so I had to rent some units furnished. But that was a really tough time. After going through that, definitely a lot more careful investing now.
That's an interesting time. Like you, I've been in real estate. I've been in it my whole life because my family's in real estate. And so you see that the economic cycles and everything, it's like, okay, well, this is just a different part of the cycle. The playbook shifts a little bit and that's okay. What would you say would put somebody in a really good position in our current situation?
Definitely having the cash and a knowledge is also really important. So it's really important to get educated now and also your network. So definitely go out and network. So we just had a webinar with Live Panel just a few days ago. And one of the panelists said right now he's sending cash card gift cards to brokers, making that solidifying that, you know, broker relationship right now is really important. So they'll call you when there's a deal. So right now it's really important to, you know, get yourself educated, make your net connections and get your dry powder ready.
Yes, definitely. I couldn't agree with you more. And if you don't have the education, if you feel like, you know, if you're listening and you're like, but how do I learn faster? I mean, right now we're in this amazing point in history where we have all these podcasts available, you have audiobooks available, you have YouTube available, you have literally thousands of resources at your fingertips.
And meetups.
Yes. And that's exactly where I was going next is there's nothing like connecting with people in real life. Agnes and I were talking about when we met down in LA at an event and you know, like when you actually get to meet somebody and talk to somebody, it changes things. So make sure that you are going, find the meetup in your area. And even if you're new, you can start a meetup. There aren't any rules. You can start a meetup and bring all the knowledge to you, you know?
So yeah, bring in the experts. Exactly. Yeah. Start the meetup and then bring in experts.
Yeah. So don't use that as an excuse, but definitely go and get the knowledge and align yourself with people so that you can power through and enjoy it and have fun and have the little butterflies. Is there anything else you would like to share with people that you think, I really wish you should know this?
About real estate investing?
It could be about anything because if you don't have a balanced life, real estate investing isn't going to do anything for you. So, I mean, you can take that as a very open-ended.
Sure. I think it's having, you know, I think having passion in life and having the right mindset is really important. So having the right mindset is actually more important than the technical aspects of knowing real estate or not, but having the mindset and having the drive, knowing that, you know, your determination today equals like your success tomorrow, you know, doing something uncomfortable that will help you grow, pushing you. I think that that's really important and that'll take you really far.
Couldn't agree with you more on the mindset. I actually, if you're listening and you're new, I do Mindset Mondays because just like Agnes is saying, like if you don't have control over what's going on between your ears, you are not going to be the person you're designed to be in this world. It's really important that you get control of your thinking so that you can, you know, really realize who you are and what you're capable of. I just love how like we're all just people. It's not like there's something special about Bill Gates or something. You know, he's done extraordinary things, and you can look at, you know, different athletes and Steve Jobs, and that we can look at all the people who have made it in our minds, but they've had a really strong, powerful mindset.
And yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, that's so important. I couldn't agree more.
I was just telling my kids last night that I used to compete in rock climbing, do competitive rock climbing. And I was in the finals and I'm sitting back there and I'm like 19 years old and I'm in this isolation area where you can't see what, you know, everybody else is doing. And I'm beside these people that are on the covers of the rock climbing magazines and everything. And I said, that was the moment I realized they're normal people. They're no different than anybody else. She's nervous. She's got her earbuds in and she's just trying to get her mind under control so that she can go and do her best job. Like there's nothing different between people. Anyone can be successful.
Exactly. And I think taking the small steps each day will get you that big goal that you want.
Amen. Daily disciplines. Yes,
daily disciplines.
What are some of your, I know I'm kind of like almost saying goodbye, but not saying goodbye. I'm like, I have more questions. what are some of your daily disciplines that help you out?
Definitely working, workout. So I do like cardio dance, and Tracy Anderson, like online now. Definitely. I think working out clears your mind. Yeah. So that's important. But, and then just, because I love what I do, so I feel like it's easy to work on it for hours.
I could get lost, so I have to be really careful because I can end up neglecting really important people in my life because I'm like, but I love this. It's so fun. Man,
yeah, it's great to talk to people with like-minded that also love, you know, what we do, love real estate, love talking to people, so that's great.
It is really great. I'm going to leave links below so that you can connect with Agnes. It's always great. She's so friendly and warm and nice, and you just need to reach out to her. And she might be somebody that is going to become part of your network and part of your journey. Maybe that's because you want to become a real estate investor, or maybe that's because you just want to invest passively and you want to invest with somebody that you know you can trust and you know who is successful and has a proven track record, you know, with real estate investing. And so now you have a connection right there and an introduction. And so I want to make sure that you guys head down to the show notes. If it's on YouTube or the podcast that you're listening to it on, just go to those show notes. I'll make it clickable and you can connect up and say hello. Agnes, thank you so much. I appreciate your time and I appreciate your expertise and your love of real estate. It's one thing I love about doing podcast episodes is like, oh, we get to share space with people who love this. Yes. Like I do.
Well, it's been very lovely. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you. All the best to you and everyone listening. Please remember, just like Agnes was saying, it's a daily decision. You just take small steps and we are all just one decision away. It's just a sequence of making decisions. So go leave this episode with making a decision and sticking to it. Thanks so much for joining me for another episode of Ask Me How I Know. My guests are the most humble successes, so be sure to show them your appreciation by rating this episode 5 stars, which sounds silly, but let's be real. Ratings, likes, and shares, they take no time at all, but make all the difference in the world, if only to boost morale.
Also, since I don't spend time on the how and why they got into investing, be sure to check out the show notes to get to know more about today's guests, including other podcasts they've been on that has a more traditional format that will give other details about their investment journey. It'll also tell you things like the most influential person in their life and what they're reading right now, as well as how to connect with them. And please, subscribe and rate Ask Me How I Know so it reaches other listeners like you. Until next time, go find your freedom.